Brethren, again, the scripture reading will be taken from Mark, the second chapter. I'll be reading verses 13 through 17. Mark chapter 2, 13 through 17. And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Well, good evening, everyone.
Always
thankful for the opportunities that I have. We're glad to see each and every one of you. We're glad that you've had safe travels. Sarah's pregnancy is wrapping up. Here in the next few weeks, we'll have a new addition to our family, Lord willing. And certainly that's been in my prayers and in my mind recently. And then that kind of just led me into the thinking of doctors. You know, last time, Sarah probably won't want me to tell the story, but last time the doctor, he was having another person delivering a baby, so they kind of told Sarah to wait. And Sarah's very polite and very kind. So the nurse would come in and say, "The doctor's just going to be a little bit longer, you know, just wait." And as soon as the nurse went out, he said, "I'm going to push it." Which I answered back, I paid good money, so I don't have to be the receiver in this case, you know. But, you know, you start thinking about doctors, and, you know, there's a lot of good doctors out there, but certainly there is one that's above all the rest, and that's Jesus Christ. And although the Bible never really says that Jesus is the great physician, certainly that's a title that I think that we can safely apply to Jesus. He certainly was the great physician, particularly thinking about physical things. You start looking around and thinking of all of Jesus' accomplishments on the physical plane. Like, we think of doctors and physical healing. I mean, Jesus did a lot of that. He had people that were touching his garment, and they were healed. We think of Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. It said, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." I mean, his power on the physical plane of life, his ability to do miracles and do things in terms of healing, was quite astonishing and amazing. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30, it says, "Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." You know, Jesus was a master physician in relation to the physical plane of life, but certainly I think it would be good for us to consider that not only was he the great physician in relation to physical things, he's certainly the great physician in relation to spiritual things. And really that's what he's talking about in Mark chapter 2. As he's turning this implication here in Mark chapter 2, he finishes off the situation. He says, "Those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick, I do not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." What kind of healing is he talking about here? He's talking about a healing for the sin sick. And certainly when we look around our society, we are in need of a great physician. We are in need of a great physician, not necessarily in the physical plane, but in the spiritual plane. We need the great physician, Jesus Christ, and the spiritual healing that he offers. We need it in the world which we live. We need him in our country. We need him in our state. We need him in our families. And certainly, we need his spiritual healing for ourselves. But as you look at Jesus and he starts building this resume of physical credentials in relation to healing the blind, healing all these individuals, casting out demons, doing all of these things in the physical area of healing, can we pause for a second and consider the spiritual healing which he offers? The spiritual healing which he offers everyone. And you start to look at Jesus and his credentials and his power, and I come to the conclusion that when it comes to our spiritual healing, it is not a Jesus problem, it's an us problem. You know, if you think about this in the physical plane of life, when people turn to doctors for answers, a lot of times I think you could turn the eyes back to the patient, and a lot of times the problem is the patient, not necessarily the doctor. And I think we see this in respect to Jesus Christ and the spiritual healing that he offers. He healed the chief of sinners. He saved the chief of sinners. He can do all of the things that he says he can do in relation to spiritual healing and the forgiveness of sin. It's not a Jesus problem. It's the patient problem. Well, let's think of some of those situations this evening where we look at the patient and say, you know what? The patient is the problem, not really God. God's not the problem here. God has offered all the spiritual assistance that you need, all the healing options that you need, but you are deciding as the patient not to take advantage of what God has offered as the great physician. Number one problem that I see with patients many times, that I see perhaps with myself many times, is patients aren't good at acknowledging that they have a problem. Think about that. Perhaps you fall into that situation from time to time, is that you get physically sick, but you will avoid admitting that you're sick at all costs. No, I'm not sick. I'm just fine. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. No problem here. Look the other direction. I'm okay. Sometimes we have trouble acknowledging that we have a problem. Sometimes we have trouble acknowledging that we're sick. Sometimes we have trouble acknowledging that we need help. But right over here, we have the great physician, the great doctor, the great healer, but you know what? He deals with only willing patients. Patients that will come to him and submit to his prescription, to his medicine, to his will. But many times, patients won't acknowledge they have a problem. So because they don't acknowledge that they have a problem, you know where they never end up? At the doctor's office. They never end up at the spiritual doctor because they never can come to admit that they have a problem. Can you acknowledge the problem in your life? It's a very valuable Christian trait to be able to reflect and look at oneself and say, these are issues that I need to deal with, that I need help with, that I need outside help, outside intervention to help me through this. And the great physician is there every step of the way. You know, many times when it comes to physical problems, I think we fall into this trap of not acknowledging that we have a physical problem. Well, what do you mean, Kyle? Well, I can give you a lot of good examples from just my life. When I was in high school, I was playing a basketball game. Right at the end of the halftime, I jumped up to block the shot, and he had to shoot it, and he decided not to shoot it. And I landed on his shoulder, and he flipped me. And when I flipped over him, my foot hit the gym floor and the bone came through my foot. I didn't know that at the time. I actually popped up, walked over, it was halftime, and I told my dad, I said, I'm going to play in the second half. And my dad had the wisdom to say, why don't you sit down and we'll see what happens here. And he takes off some stuff, starts inspecting and sees some blood, and he says, no, you're going to a doctor. My first reaction when I got hurt, you know what it was? I'm fine. I'm okay. There's no problem. There's no issue with me. And we all have situations in our life physically where we don't want to acknowledge the problem. We don't want to acknowledge that we're hurt. We don't want to acknowledge that we need help. We don't want to acknowledge that we're in need. It's amazing how many times that's our first reaction. I put in ground rods with my father-in-law. They're 8 foot. And we got the sledgehammer and we're hammering. And it's 8 foot out of the ground, so we've got to hold it to kind of keep it steady. While I'm holding it, he slips, glances off the grounding rod, hits me in the forearm. My first reaction, I'm fine. That's exactly what I said. That was the first words out of my mouth. I'm fine. I just got hit in the arm with a sledgehammer. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm fine. Well, I was. But you know what? In the moment, many times, that's exactly how we handle our spiritual life. If there is something going on in our spiritual life, and our first reaction is, I'm fine. I don't have a problem. I don't need help. I don't need assistance. I'm okay. Is that your first reaction when it comes to spiritual problems? Because if that's your attitude, and you can't take a minute to reflect that you could be hurt, that you could need help, that you might need assistance, you're in trouble when it comes to the great physician. Because the great physician wants to help. But one of the first things you have to do is, I have a problem, and say that I need help. I need assistance. Not only do we see this in the physical plane of life, but I think it can be very quickly applied to our spiritual lives. How many times do we have something spiritually that's going on in our lives, but we're in denial? What do we say to the people that are around us on the face value? You say, we're fine, there's no problem, I don't need any help, I don't need any assistance. No, I don't need a doctor. But we do. We have to be careful that we don't fall into spiritual denial. Spiritual denial of our problems and issues in our lives. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we are so quick to dismiss our physical problem, the question for myself, are we just as quick to dismiss our spiritual problem? We have to be very careful and very conscious that we are acknowledging those things that God wants us to acknowledge, and one of those things is sin. You cannot take sin lightly. Well, why can't you take sin lightly? Because sin is a disease that will cost you your life. It'll cost you spiritual life for eternity. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. By not acknowledging a sin problem, a sin issue, you put yourself in a dangerous situation. Many people put themselves in dangerous situations when it comes to sickness. They won't acknowledge sickness. I don't need a doctor. I don't need help. I don't need your assistance. And we probably know people in our life like that. Perhaps we're one of those people that refuses to acknowledge the problems that we have in our lives. The first step to solving any of these problems spiritually is admitting that we have a problem, and that's what the Bible encourages us to do. 1 John was written to Christians. 1 John verses 8 through 10, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. And then he goes on to give instructions which we need to keep in mind. But it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Do you have a problem? Yeah, you have a problem. It's sin. And there's only one person that can take care of that problem, the great physician, Jesus Christ. And the question is, are you being a patient that he can work with? Are you being a patient that will admit your problem and show up to the great physician saying, hey, I've got this problem. My problem's sin. I've fallen short of your glory. What can I do to fix this problem? If each and every one of us have been in that situation, what can we do? On the tail end of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, you could switch that a little bit and apply that to the physical world. If you say you're not sick when the doctor says you're sick, then someone's a liar there. You go to the doctor and say, hey, doctor, am I sick? And the doctor goes, yeah, for sure, you're sick. You're sick big time. And then you go, well, I'm not sick. Someone's lying there. Someone's lying there. The doctor's saying you're sick, but you're saying you're not sick. Someone's not telling the truth. Something is messed up in that situation. That's what it's saying in 1 John, is that we have a problem. And when we refuse to admit the problem, it causes problems in our spiritual life. Can you admit you have a problem? If you can't admit you have a physical problem, then what about your spiritual problem? We have to be careful, brethren, to admit our problems and acknowledge and reflect on ourselves and see where we're making mistakes. Another thing I realized when we look at the area of doctors is a lot of times people aren't the best with their checkup. You know, I'm not the best with my checkup. The last time I saw a doctor was when I was 18. That was a long time ago. I'm not the best with my checkup. Now the problem is, if I'm not good with my physical checkups, what about my spiritual checkups? Am I going those in the way I should be going? Am I checking up on myself? Am I going to the great physician and saying, hey, how am I doing? Where should I do better? Where do I need help? Where do I need assistance? The Bible tells us to check up on ourselves. Spiritually, to check up on ourselves. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. We think of communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, but let a man examine himself. There's a lot of examining going on in Christianity. Why do we need a lot of examining? Because we need to see where the problems and the issues are. And once we see where the problems and issues are, if we take those problems to the great physician, he can help us with those. But this is not a God's problem in many ways. The great physician has all the solutions. He's got the answers to your problem. But if you can't admit you have a problem, and you won't show up to the doctor for healing, God's not taking unwilling patients that are running away. Point number two, when I think of patients that aren't really going along with their doctors, one, you got to acknowledge you have a problem. Number two, is patients can't be stubborn and deny the remedy that the doctor gives. Remember one time I was younger and I was, you know, fishing, doing all that stuff, and I got caught into some type of poisonous plant. I don't know what it was, but it got all over my foot, and my foot had swollen up to the point where they were nervous of cutting off circulation and that, you know, that further actions might need to be taken. So they put me on this medicine and this prescription. They said, you need to take this every day for 2 weeks. And I stopped it like a week and a half. And I thought that was good enough. Well, it started to come back. You know, you've got to follow the prescriptions which are given to you. You've got to follow the directions. And you know what? There's sometimes where people are given medications or they're given assistance. And you know what they say? No thanks. I don't need that. And that's a lot of times that's how they handle Jesus' spiritual medicine. Is they say, oh, that medicine sounds real good. I'll take it for a day, or I'll take it for 2 days, but then I'm going to get off of it for a while, or I'm not going to take it at all. There's a lot of patients that are stubborn, and they refuse remedies. They refuse the medicine given by God. You know, the Bible and Jesus give all kinds of answers that if we listen to, they can do ourselves physically and spiritually a lot of good. But are you stubborn? I know a lot of stubborn people. I might be one of those. But when it comes to our souls, how important that is that we're not stubborn when it comes to the spiritual remedies which God is offering. Do you listen well to worldly doctors? Now that's a loaded question. But I know some people are very stubborn. If you're very stubborn with worldly doctors, which I'm saying sometimes there's a place for that because worldly doctors aren't perfect. But don't be stubborn with the great physician, the perfect one, the one that has every answer that you need, physically and spiritually, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Don't be stubborn in relation to his instruction and his remedy. And you know what? God will let you refuse medical treatment. He will let you refuse spiritual treatment. You know that people can do that physically. As long as they have their wits about them and everything, and of course there's all kinds of legal ramifications, but you know, people can refuse medical treatment. They can say, hey, we're going to give you this medicine that's going to save your life. Nah, I don't want that. They can legally do that. People can legally refuse treatment. The question is, are you refusing the spiritual medicine that God's offering? Are you refusing the medicine that God is offering? Because you're stubborn. There's all kinds of laws in relation to this. But you think of that, is that there's occasions that happen where the doctors know exactly what a patient needs to survive, and the patient says no. You know how much that has to hurt the doctor? I know exactly what you need. I have the perfect remedy. If you take this, if you do this, you will be okay. No, I don't want to do that. It's a hard situation. You know, people do that to God each and every day. They utilize their free will to be stubborn, and refuse the remedy which God has offered. And you know what? This one hits home because I see myself in this. I sometimes have that stubborn streak, so on and so forth. The doctor recommends rest. No, I'm not going to do that. The doctor recommends time off. No, I'm not going to do that. The doctor recommends a certain medicine. No, I'm not going to do that. A lot of stubbornness. That rolls over into your spiritual life. It can be very dangerous because you start refusing the very thing you need to be spiritually healthy, to have the spiritual things that you need. People are very stubborn. This has been like this for a long, long time. This is not a new story. This is not breaking news. We look in Psalm 81, verses 11 and 12. It says, But my people did not listen to my voice. Do you listen to the voice of God? It says, my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsel. God is not going to force you to take his medicine. He will not today, he will not tomorrow, but you know what? Eternity, when all our knees are bowed, certainly that will be a scene. But he's not going to force you on this plane of life to physically take the spiritual medicine that you really need. Says, but my people did not listen to my voice. Israel did not submit to me, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. If you want to refuse the spiritual medicine which God offers, he gives you that choice. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14, it says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Well, whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. What's that talking about? Stubbornness. That's what it's talking about. You're being stubborn. You won't leave your heart open. You won't let your heart be cut and do the things that you're supposed to be doing in relation to your spiritual health and your spiritual welfare. Each and every day, people are denying the great physician. The great physician has written a prescription. He has assigned it. He has given it out. People say, no, I'm not going to take it. People do it each and every day. You know, there's individuals that fit perfectly in this category that we know. People that we know that desperately need to make a spiritual decision. People we know by name. They're coming up in our mind right now. They're sitting on our heart. We're thinking about them, wanting them to make that spiritual decision. But they've got to make it by themselves. They've got to make it by themselves, and we desperately want that. But if you're one of those individuals that needs to make that spiritual decision, realize that it's in relation to your soul, and without God's remedy, you're in danger of spiritual death. Some men are so stubborn, men, women, so stubborn that they don't want to admit that they're wrong. And that's what the Bible asks us to do, that we have done wrong, that we have made mistakes. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Well, what's repent? Change. Saying, I'm going to take the medicine. I'm going to do what God asks. But you know what? You can be as stubborn as you want to be. It doesn't change some of the facts in the Bible. You can be very stubborn. You can deny the medicine that Jesus is offering all through your entire life, but that's not going to change some things. In relation to people being stubborn, it's not going to change that judgment day is coming. And some people might wish it would. Some people wish that people be so stubborn that judgment day could just be pushed off for eternity. But Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. The judgment day is coming no matter how stubborn you are. It'd be best to get the remedy from our Lord. So many people stubborn throughout the Bible. I think of Judges. In Judges chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, we find some other stubborn people. It says, but whenever the judge died, in Judges chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, it says, but whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he said, because this people has transgressed my covenant that I command their fathers and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died. Because the people were stubborn. They weren't listening to what God said. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we listening to what God says, or are we being stubborn in relation to the instructions which have been given to us? There are some people among us, there are people out in the world that need immediate medical attention. They need immediate medical attention. But you know what? The medical attention shows up, they knock on the door, they say, we're here to help. You know what the people say? No thanks. People are doing that each and every day seriously. The great physician is standing and waiting, and he's got all his remedies just waiting for people to walk through the door, and when they walk through the door, here's the remedy. Will you take the remedy, or will you reject the remedy? And many people are saying, I refuse medical attention. I don't want any spiritual care. And unfortunately, that's the only place that we can get it. You know, we thought about a few things this evening. You know, you think about patients. Sometimes patients aren't good because they don't admit they have a problem. Sometimes patients aren't good because they're stubborn and refuse the remedy. And sometimes patients aren't good a lot of times because they don't ask a whole lot of questions. Now, I know not everyone fits into this category, but I think a lot of people sometimes do find themselves in a situation where perhaps they're uncomfortable and they don't want to ask the questions that perhaps need to be asked. They're at that doctor, they're in that uncomfortable situation, and there's a question that's pressing them, and they don't ask it. But really, they should. You know, good patients, I think, ask questions. They're concerned. They want to make sure that they're doing things right. They're following the prescription correctly, that they're doing things in an appropriate way. Do we ask questions in relation to God's remedy? Not that we're trying to find a loophole, but that we're understanding them correctly. Because many people in the world, they're not asking questions about God's remedy. In fact, they're not taking God's remedies at all. They're taking the remedies of men and saying, you know what, that sounds pretty good, I'll take that. Instead of looking at what God says and saying, is this the actual remedy that God has for the remission of sin? Is this the actual remedy that God has for whatever subject? Salvation, forgiveness of sins, the way to be a good husband, the way to be a good wife. All those things are laid out in the Holy Scriptures. Do we ask for God's prescription and remedy? You know, you've got to go to the doctor to seek their advice. Now, I know sometimes they take phone calls and things of that nature, but you have to reach out to the doctor and say, hey, what is your advice? What do you want me to do? What would be best in this situation? And there is only one place that we can turn for spiritual answers, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible, which has been given to us, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must be saved. There's only one place that we can turn. Do you turn to the book for the remedies of your life? Do you turn to the book for the prescriptions of your life? We have all kinds of things that happen to us as we go throughout this plane of life. And the Bible gives us prescriptions and remedies, and a lot of times it's just thrown away. God gives us so much here. He gives us so many solutions, so many prescriptions, but we don't even take the time to read it. I don't know if you've ever saw those handouts before, but they pass out those handouts sometimes. They say, like, emergency calls or when you're in need, and it's got a Bible verse and some issue that you have in life. And it's like grief, and it's got some Bible verses. It's got depression, it's got some Bible verses. And then it's got all these things, and it goes down. It's like, if you're having this feeling, or you're going through this in your life, lost, and it's got these Bible verses associated with it. The Bible has plenty of remedies. The Bible has remedies for depression. The Bible has remedies for finances. The Bible has remedies for forgiveness of sin. The Bible has remedies for all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's not that life is easy. It's not that life is going to be without bumps and bruises. But God gives you what is best for you. The question is will we read the prescription and will we apply it? Here's the question. When's the last time you recommended the great physician? People recommend physical doctors all the time, don't they? I went to Dr. So-and-so, and Dr. So-and-so was great. They treated me kindly, and I had this surgery done, and had this done, and it was amazing. When's the last time you recommended the great physician of the Bible? The one that on the physical plane of life was doing miracles, nothing that the world had really ever seen before, and now we have him administering his spiritual healing, but yet we don't recommend that doctor. The doctor that has answers to all spiritual things, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we can't recommend this doctor? He's the only doctor to recommend. The doctor for eternal life. You know, you think about our God that we serve, a consistent God, an honest God, a trustworthy God, a loving God. The God that has promised eternal life. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, in the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Now, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you're in need of the great physician. I'm in need of the great physician. You're in need of the great physician. The question is, are you a good patient? Can you acknowledge that you have a problem? Can you acknowledge that you have problems? Plural. Can you acknowledge that sometimes you're stubborn and perhaps the great physician has already written a prescription that you have rejected time and time again? Can you acknowledge that sometimes you need to be asking questions about what God has really written in relation to the issue that you're having throughout your life? You need to acknowledge that you're in desperate need of the great physician, and so am I. The Bible is right. Where is your prescription? A lot of times the world tries to come with kind of crazy prescriptions from all over the place. There's one place that we should turn for our prescription, and it's right here. There's no other place to go. This is our prescription book. This is where our remedies are. And yet, will we forsake it? Will we go to some other place? There's so many things that people say in the about the Bible and in relation to salvation. You know, say this shout, put your hand on the radio, you know, go to the mourner's bed, say the sinner's prayer, and yet we don't see it in what the doctor is saying. Will you follow what the doctor says? What does the prescription say? And will you do part of it, or will you do all of it? Because certainly I think the Bible gives us this picture that we have to do all of whatever the prescription says. Because baptism washes away our sins. It washes away the sins of the chief of sinners. You see that in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. If it was good enough for him, certainly it's good enough for me. But you think about it. The great physician said so. The master healer said so. Why would you not? Will you see the problem that you have in your life? Will you admit that you have that problem in your life? And will you accept the remedy which God asked for? Perhaps you still have questions. There's nothing wrong with questions. Certainly we would want to answer any question that you have about what God wants you to do in any area of your life, and we'll turn to this book and try to find the best answer. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, it says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." You think of Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. It says, "Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You think of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. So many places that we could turn. The Bible has given us the remedy for forgiveness of sins. And certainly, that is the remedy that we all need. Perhaps we need the prayers of the church. Perhaps you have questions. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. We would love to assist you in any way, but we cannot do that without the help of the great physician. Without his assistance, we are lost. And certainly, we all need his assistance and his guidance. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you please come as we stand and as we sing.